every waking moment of everyone's day, we are all making choices. Some of these choices are very just monotonous. Some of these choices are very simple. You're choosing right now, will I listen or will I play on my phone? Will I pay attention? Will I take notes? You're choosing whether or not you think this could be good or not. You are choosing at this moment who you're going to listen to. Will you listen to your stomach, or will you listen to your spouse, or will you listen to the sermon? You're choosing at every single moment of every single day different choices. Some of are really frivolous and pointless. We choose what to wear when we wake up. We choose fifth graders and fourth graders and sixth grader boys choose whether or not they're going to put on deodorant. Many times they choose the wrong choice, but many they're making a choice nonetheless. We will choose after this what to eat, where to eat, who to eat with, and all of these moment by moment, second by second. Are we going to listen? Are we going to pay attention? These are all just very seemingly monotonous, pointless decisions. But it is true nonetheless that at every single moment of every single day, every single person who is awake and alive is making a decision. Now, some of those decisions are monumental. As teenagers, you're choosing, what am I going to study? Where am I going to go to college? Who am I going to date? Can I date? When should I start dating? As parents, we're deciding, when should my teenager date? Who should my teenager date? Can they start driving? What kind of a vehicle will they drive? As parents, we're deciding, is this an issue worth disciplining? Is this an issue worth grounding? Is this, for some of us with younger children, an issue worth spanking over? Should we spank? Should we send our child to public school or Christian school or some other private school? Or should we homeschool our child? What should we do regarding sports and different extracurricular activities that take our child outside of church? Should we devote all of our time and energy to our community? Or how much time should we devote to the community? And how much time should we devote to church? As adults, we're asking questions, okay, I've got this job, but should I take this promotion? Should I get hired here? What are the implications of this job versus the other job? And what's that going to mean for my home life or for my family and for my time in church? Are we going to have a child? Are we going to have multiple children? How many children are we going to have? Are we going to adopt? Where are we going to adopt from? Decision after decision after decision. What are we going to do with our money? How much are we going to give to the church? How much are we going to keep to ourselves? What are some other nonprofits or other organizations that are going to get our finances and our money? What are we going to do for vacation? Where are we going to go? How are we going to spend our free time and quality time? Or are we going to go on that mission trip? Are we going to spend our time and our efforts and our talents trying to reach the unreached? Or are we just going to hoard our time and energy to ourselves? What are we going to do? And every single second of every single day, we're making a decision. And our problem is, many times we make the wrong ones. Every single person who's been alive any length of time can look back at a time when they made the wrong decision. They can look back on an event in their life where they think, I chose poorly. We think of the priest who's in the Indiana Jones and the Ark of the Covenant, the Temple of Doom or something, where there's the priest in there and one guy chooses first. He chooses the chalice and if you know the movie, he drinks from it and he just immediately dies. And the priest goes, he chose poorly. And we get frozen by that fear. We fear that we're going to be that guy that drinks from that cup, and then we immediately, everything that we've worked for in our lives is going to come to nothing. And so everyone, Christian and non-Christian alike, in the midst of those major decisions, where am I going to college? Who am I dating? Should I continue dating this person? Should we get married? All of these major decisions, people begin to ask the same question. What is the wise thing to do? And this is a gracious thing for us as believers to understand, because this is a very Christian teaching. It's a very Christian thing that everyone asks. At some point in their life, every single person begins to ask, what's the wise, intelligent, smart thing for me to do in the midst of this choice? And we as believers often do that very same thing. We begin to ask the question, okay, so what is the wise choice to make at this moment? And whenever we ask that question, we always turn to a particular book in Scripture, and that book is Proverbs. Because we see in Proverbs the teaching of wisdom. And so for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be looking at what exactly does Proverbs teach about wisdom. And is Proverbs' understanding of wisdom the same as the world's understanding of wisdom? For the next 4 weeks, we'll look at chapters 1 through 9 of Proverbs. Chapters 1 through 9 of Proverbs sets a foundation to understanding the rest of Proverbs. And so we'll look at the major foundational questions of Proverbs. And then for the last 4 weeks, we'll look at four particular life situations in which an understanding of wisdom is important. And we'll see what Proverbs teaches about it and how we can implement the teachings of Proverbs to those life situations and issues of life. But our question before us this morning is, what exactly is wisdom? And what exactly does Proverbs teach about wisdom? Webster defines wisdom this way, that wisdom is knowledge that is gained by having many experiences in life, the natural ability to understand things that most other people cannot understand, knowledge of what is proper or reasonable, good sense, or judgment. So we must ask, is that truly what wisdom is? Is that what Proverbs teaches about wisdom? Or is there something that the world is missing about wisdom that the Bible has been teaching all along that maybe even many of us have been missing all along as well? What exactly is wisdom? To find the answer to that question, we're going to look together this morning in most of Proverbs 1 through 9, but we're going to look specifically at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. So we're going to read that this morning together. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, the verses will be on the screen. This is the Holman Christian Standard Version that I'll be reading from. So if mine says something different than yours, that would be why. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Wisdom calls out in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. She cries out above the commotion. She speaks at the entrance of the city gates. How long, foolish ones, will you love ignorance? How long will you mockers enjoy mocking, and you fools hate knowledge? If you respond to my warning, then I will pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. Since I called out and you refused, extended my hand and no one paid attention, since you neglected all my counsel and did not accept my correction, I, in turn, will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when trouble and stress overcome you, then they will call me, but I won't answer. They will search for me, but won't find me, because they hated knowledge. They didn't choose to fear the Lord, were not interested in my counsel, and rejected all my correction. They will eat the fruit of their way and be glutted with their own schemes. For the turning away of the inexperienced will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live securely and be free from the fear of danger. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and that your word is a lamp unto our path and a light unto our feet. God, we thank you that your word is inerrant and inspired and authoritative. Your word is where we find wisdom, where we find true wisdom. Your word is where we find Christ and the gospel. Your word is everything that we need for fruitful living, for obedience in the Christian life. God, our desire during this time is to hear from your word. Our desire during this time is that you would speak to us, that your spirit would be in this place, that the author of Scripture, the Holy Spirit, would be speaking to us during this time. You would be honored through the preaching of your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So the first thing that we need to understand is that wisdom isn't our typical understanding of wisdom. That wisdom is a person. Notice throughout these passages, wisdom calls out in the street. She raises her voice in the public square. This is completely different than our typical understanding of Proverbs and wisdom in Proverbs. Proverbs is 31 chapters. The first 9 are foundational, and then the last 22 are just filled with these trite wisdom sayings. And as opposed to understanding wisdom as a person, many of us come to Proverbs and we think of wisdom and ourselves kind of like a computer. For those who understand how computers work, they're completely run on a program. So if you program or input the right thing, you will get the proper result. And so what most happens to us is we treat our lives like it's a computer or computer program. That if we simply input the right wise saying, our output will be a proper life or a good life or good results. And so we'll wake up in the morning and we'll think of a different life situation, and then we'll read our proverb of the day. And maybe our proverb of the day is Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4. And so we come to our proverb of the day and we're like, I want some wise thoughts, I want some wisdom for the day. Kind of what should I be memorizing today? Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4. It says, don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you'll be like him yourself. So you think to yourself, okay, don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you'll be foolish as well. And so you go to work, or you go to school, or you talk to your foolish child, and they say something foolish. And you can understand it's a foolish, one, because it's coming out of a child's mouth, or two, because you can just hear it, and it's foolish. Or you read something on Facebook. And there's just foolishness abounds on Facebook. And so you read it, and you see the foolish action, or you hear the foolish saying, and you think of the proverb that's in your head. Don't answer a fool in his foolishness, or you'll become a fool just like him. It's like, okay, I'm not going to say anything to the fool, because I don't want to be foolish like him. Yes, what he said was foolish, but I don't want to correct him. I don't want to rebuke him. I don't want to say anything to them, because I don't want to be foolish. So we get to the end of the day, and we think, all right, I did it. I plugged in the right thing for the day, my wise saying, and so the result should be the right thing. So then you wake up the next morning. You're like, all right, yesterday went well. Got my nice little wise saying. I didn't answer the fool according to his folly, so I didn't become like a fool myself. And then you read Proverbs 26, verse 5, which says, answer a fool according to his foolishness, or he'll become wise in his own eyes. And then you think to yourself, how can I do both? Like how can I just plug this into my life? How can I just see a foolish person or hear a foolish thing and then both not answer him so I don't become foolish and answer him so he doesn't remain a fool? And this is where a proper understanding of wisdom must come into play. Because wisdom isn't just this series of trite sayings that we plug into our life and then get a proper result. Wisdom is a person who is teaching us along the way. What we want, what we love, is a series of checklists. A series of guidelines that just says, if you do these things, you will get a proper result. But that's not what Proverbs teaches. Because if that's what Proverbs taught, then couldn't a lost person input the right things and then output a proper life? But all Scripture is pointing us to the fact that we can't achieve this on our own. And so Proverbs, like all other books of Scripture, are pointing to Christ. Proverbs is telling us, this isn't a set of guidelines. This isn't a list. This isn't some things that you could just simply follow and obey, and then if you input the right thing, you will get the right life as a result. Proverbs is saying to us, no, there's a person called wisdom, and there is a person called folly, and both of them are speaking to us and calling us to follow them. We get in Proverbs that folly is there, sitting by the doorway of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling to those who pass by. And wisdom calls out on the streets. There are two competing people and two competing ways of thinking about life. They're much less like a computer and much more like a carnival barker or a circus barker. For those who are kind of understanding things or in the know, the carnival barker or the circus barker is the person who stands by the little games or at the front of the circus tent, and he's hollering for everyone to come and enjoy what's there. So if you go to King's Island and you pass by the kind of row of games and all the different prizes, it's the person who's there with the microphone saying, "Hey, come play this game. You're going to win. This is some amazing prizes. You got one out of every three people win. There's a prize at every game." If you're old enough to understand, it's the person at the front of the circus who's saying, "Come see the bearded lady." I've never seen the bearded lady, but apparently that was what happened at circuses in the past. Or if you watched Little Rascals, they did this circus barker thing, and it says, "Come see the man eating chicken." And then inside the tent, there was just a little boy eating KFC. He was a man eating chicken. And so all around, I think we understand this concept of the carnival barker and the circus barker. For me, my memory comes from a state fair. I attended in Louisville long ago. Kentucky State Fair was always in Louisville, and so my parents would take us pretty much every year. And you'd get this stream of tickets, and you only had so many, so you had to kind of be cautious about who you were going to give your tickets to. And so it was the job of the barkers and the different rides and the different little events and booths to call out and try to get people to spend their tickets with them. And I remember there's this guy, and he was in front of this kind of covered thing, and on the cover it says, "See the world's biggest rat." I was like, that was neat. And so the guy standing at the front, he goes, "Come and see, young man, come and see the world's biggest rat. You'll be amazed, you'll be intrigued. This is going to be so amazing." And I was like, all right, well, that sounds pretty interesting. Like, the world's biggest rat, that's going to be pretty cool. And so I gave him my tickets, and I only had so many, so I didn't get to ride the spinny ride that makes everybody throw up. I had to go see the world's biggest rat. So I walk in, and there's a large rodent, but it's not a rat. That would be the carnival barker, who was the rat. Got my tickets, and I didn't get to ride anything fun because I went and saw this massive rodent in a cage. So what Proverbs says is this is much the way of what wisdom and folly are doing. Our lives are not like a maze where we just get to a point and we kind of find our way through. That we kind of come to a decision, and on one side is folly, and folly is standing on the chair. Folly is begging us. We're making a decision. There's two ways to go. And folly says, come. Come this way. Come, and there is riches, and there is wealth, and there is prosperity, and there is self-esteem, and there's love, and there are people who will adore you. There is pride and well-being. There's early retirement. There are girls for you. There are boys for you. There is physical pleasure. There is life for you here. There is happiness for you here. Come this way. And folly is calling us to come and follow the way of folly. And on the other side, we have wisdom. And wisdom is calling out on the streets to us. And we're standing at a point of decision. And wisdom is saying, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And wisdom is calling out, I am the way and the truth and the life. Follow me. Wisdom is calling out this way to the path of righteousness. This way to the path of fullness of joy. This way to the path of freedom and life everlasting. This way to the path of eternal life and eternal joy and eternal happiness. This is the way of life. And he's calling out and he's beckoning to us. And it's at this point that we really come to the understanding that Christ is all over Proverbs. Many times we read Proverbs, we wonder, where is Jesus in the midst of this? But if we understand that wisdom is a person, and we see what Solomon may not have even understood, that the person of wisdom is the person of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 24 and verse 30. It says, "Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom." Verse 30, "But it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became God's wisdom for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So as we read Proverbs, we can't read it as just a series of platitudes that's going to lead us to the right decision in a proper life. As we read Proverbs, we have to read it in a way that says that there's a path of life and there's a path of destruction. There's a person of wisdom, Christ, who is calling us, beckoning us, not softly and tenderly. You can't read Proverbs and hear the displays of who wisdom is and think softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. No, Jesus is standing on the chair. He's calling out on the streets. He's saying, come, follow me for life. Because folly is doing the exact same thing. And folly is screaming us to follow. And so often, so many of us follow folly. So often we hear the cries of pleasure and prosperity and happiness and self-esteem and worth. And we listen to the cries of folly. What Proverbs teaches us is that we need to hear the voice of wisdom, to follow the voice of wisdom. Proverbs also does not teach that this is a one-time decision. Proverbs is concerned with a relationship with wisdom. So we have the first truth, that wisdom is a person. The second is that wisdom must be pursued. Proverbs, as you read, continually calls the reader to hold fast, to pursue, to hear. We're going to flip through chapters 2 through 6, 2 through 7, and it's the first few verses of each chapter. I just want to bring our attention to them, because in each one of those chapters, in the first few verses, we're going to hear some of the same phrases, the same terminology. In the beginning of chapter 2, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding. Furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand. If you seek it, search for it, lift your voice to it, call out to it. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands. Chapter 4, verse 1. Listen, my son, to a father's discipline and pay attention so that you may gain understanding. For I am giving you good instruction. Don't abandon my teaching. Chapter 5, verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen closely to my understanding. In chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. My son, obey my words and treasure my commands. Keep my commands and live. Protect my teachings as the pupil of your eye. Tie them to your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And over and over and over again, Solomon, the writer of most of Proverbs, is calling to his child, who Proverbs is written to, his son, and saying to him, hold fast, listen closely, pay attention, tie them around your heart. Do not abandon. Hold fast. Because what Solomon understands is what the rest of Scripture also understands and what the writer of Come Thou Fount understands. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. What Solomon understands is what Paul understood in Romans 7. I don't do the things that I want to do. And I do the things that I don't want to do. Who can save me from this body of corruption, this sinful flesh, that there is a war raging inside of me of the sin and the spirit-led life that's in me, and I so often choose the wrong path. I so often go astray. And because of that, Proverbs is calling to us, no, it's not a one-time decision. We don't just at one moment stand and decide between wisdom and folly. It's every single moment of every single day, of every single second, of all of our lives that we're deciding at every instance, are we going to follow wisdom or are we going to follow folly? Our natural inclination is for the majority of our lives, for the monotony of our lives to just do whatever comes natural, to do whatever we want, and to follow our own desires. But when we get to these monumental, momentous decisions, we begin to think, okay, what's wisdom? What would God want me to do here? Because this is a really big decision, and I want to do what God wants me to do. But according to Proverbs chapter 1, this isn't how it works. This isn't how it plays out. Look at what happens to the person who doesn't listen to wisdom in Proverbs chapter 1. How long will you love ignorance? How long will you enjoy mocking and hate knowledge? If you respond to my warning, I'll pour out my spirit and teach you my words. Since I called out and you refused, wisdom is constantly calling, and if we only try to listen at a few short moments, what we're saying is we're refusing wisdom all of these other times, but here, God, at this moment, it's a really big decision to help me pursue wisdom. What we get is, I will not pay attention. We will not hear the right voice at the right time if all of the other moments of our lives we're listening to the wrong voice. There are two voices that are calling out to us. And if the majority of the time we're following folly, then in these momentous occasions that we think of, we will most likely not choose the path of wisdom. What Proverbs teaches is that there's not straight paths continuously of us doing what we want, and then randomly there are a few important decisions that we make between wisdom and folly. What Proverbs teaches is that every single moment of every single day, you're choosing between wisdom and folly. That you are constantly, as you make choices in your head, constantly choosing between wisdom and folly. And who will you pursue? It is one foot in front of the other, in front of the other, in front of the other. It is follow the leader. I don't know how many of you played follow the leader when you were growing up. Those who didn't, I don't know if you watched Peter Pan or not. Growing up, it's a nice little cartoon. We're following the leader, the leader, the leader. We're following the leader wherever he may go. T-dum, T-D. See, I got you. You know it, like those Disney movies. They just stick in your head. I think we understand what following the leader is. There's one person in front, and whatever that person does, whoever is behind just continues to follow. And so if the person turns to the left, we turn to the left. If the person turns to the right, we turn to the right. If the person continues to go straight, we go straight. If the person climbs over chairs, we climb over chairs. If the person climbs on couches, we climb on couches. I don't know what you all did when you were kids, but those are what we did. We climbed on chairs and climbed on couches, and we did the whole floor is lava stuff. All those things. And what we were doing the entire time is following a single leader. And this is the image of Proverbs. The image of Proverbs is there's a voice, there's a person that you're going to follow. And the question before you is, who is that person? Who is the one that you will follow? Who is the voice that you will listen to? There's two questions I want to ask as we kind of finish things up, just to reflect on what's going on as we kind of get this big picture. Is first one is, who are you pursuing? Who are you pursuing? And this isn't, the question isn't, have you at one point in your life chosen to follow Christ, chosen to follow wisdom? This is, who are you pursuing? And Proverbs gives us two options. We're either pursuing wisdom or pursuing folly. You're chasing after the person of Christ. You're chasing after his way, the way of righteousness, the way of life everlasting, or you're chasing after your own wants, your own desires, your own well-being, your own likes, your own dislikes, your own thoughts of what is good and perfect and pleasing. You're chasing after, pursuing, desiring wisdom in the way of Christ, or folly in the way of death. Proverbs chapter 8 puts it this way, verse 35. This is wisdom who's calling out here in Proverbs chapter 8. For the one who finds me finds life. For the one who finds me finds life. No, he who has ears, let them hear, because this sounds very much like what Christ says. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It sounds very much like what he says in John 10:10, that I have come that you may have life and life more abundant. Wisdom says, whoever finds me finds life. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and life more abundant. Wisdom, Proverbs says, pursue wisdom because in wisdom is life. And the gospel show us that this wisdom is the person and work of Christ. And only in following him do we find life and life more abundant. And Proverbs says the only other person we can pursue, we can chase after, is folly. And Jesus says the only other person we can pursue is Satan. So Jesus says in John 10:10 that I have come that you may have life and life more abundant. The devil comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. And so we're faced with the decision, and on one side is folly, and they're saying to us, pursue wealth, pursue riches, pursue fame, pursue fortune, pursue physical pleasure, pursue the things of this world. And what will happen at the end of this journey is that they will steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. Nothing outside of pursuing Christ will bring you life. As great as the church is, if you pursue the church, it will steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. As great as your family is, if you pursue your family, they will steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. As great as your job is, if you pursue your job, it will steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. As great as happiness and pleasure is, at some point, it will steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. But Jesus stands, and he stands as the carnival barker. He's calling to us, in me is life, and life more abundant. And only in me is eternal life and pleasure and joy forevermore. You can pursue all of those things. You can pursue this folly. But only in Christ, and only in pursuing Christ, can we find righteousness and peace and joy that is eternal and will never lose it and never forsake it. And so the question before us is not, did we just make a decision, but what are we pursuing? Who are we chasing after? Are we chasing after the American dream that's going to steal from us and kill us and destroy us? Or are we chasing after the God who gave his life for us on the cross? Are we just chasing after the one in whom all glory is given? Are we chasing after the one who created all things and by his will they exist and have their being? And him alone is worthy of glory and worship forevermore. Who are you chasing? I don't care. I really don't care about your one-time decision other than did that decision lead to a pattern of decisions in your life to consistently follow after Christ? Amen. I'm concerned with what are you deciding to do right now? Proverbs is concerned with what are you choosing to do right now? Who are you choosing to follow? And the second question comes from that. So what do you need to change in order to pursue wisdom? Do you need to rid something from your life? Do you need to make a different decision? Do you need to finally make that first step? A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. So I said, I'm not concerned if you say you've made that decision at some point, but you're not following now, but I am concerned that you make that first decision. Jesus says, come follow me. That means at some point you make a decision to follow him. Jesus says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then you will be saved. That is a decision that you make to constantly follow him all the days of your life. So if you've never chosen to follow him at any point in your life, that's the first thing you must do. Repent of your sins. Turn from yourself. Cast your cares upon him. And he will save you. And for many of us, we say, there was a moment, there was a day when I began this journey, and I began to follow, but I'm pursuing so many frivolous things. I'm pursuing my place of occupation, I'm pursuing wealth, I'm pursuing pride, I'm pursuing all of these things that in the end will only steal from me, kill me and destroy me. And I need to reignite that passion to pursue Christ. I need to begin this journey in earnest today. I need to cast aside all of the sin, the weight that entangles me, and run with joy the race that is marked out before me. So we're going to have a time of invitation for us to answer both of those questions. One, who are you pursuing? Believer, non-believer, are you pursuing Christ? And two, so what do we need to take care of to really pursue wisdom as we should? Let's stand and pray together as they come. God, in you and you alone is life and life more abundant. And you and you alone is eternal life and joy forevermore. And you alone is true wisdom, lasting wisdom. God, our burden and our prayer is that we would be wise. But that only means that we're following you. It means that we're pursuing you with the decisions of our life. And I pray for the people in this room, myself included, that we would truly reflect on our lives and ponder who we are pursuing. Are we pursuing sin and self, or are we pursuing a Savior who lives and reigns? And help us to cast aside of our sins, all the weight that easily entangles. Help us to follow you. Because in you and you alone is life forevermore. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would ask, if God is speaking to you now,